I'm glad I'm free. I'm glad I'm covered. That was real. That was really real. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. In just a moment, Brother Switzer is coming to obey God. But I'm here to tell you, last night, if you wasn't here, you must get that message. Make it available to every sinner you know. Every sinner you know. Very important. Now let's pray while Brother Switzer comes. Sister Switzer comes. Whatever they've got planned. I want you to pray together. Brother, a priest had to go to South Carolina because one of his members had an accident, tore his truck up, and he's gone to hospital to find out about him. So let's pray for him. Brother Joe, he wants to be ordained tomorrow night. So that's another one on our list. Ordination at 6 tomorrow, 1 hour before the regular service. It's going to be special. It's going to be special. It's really going to be special. You don't want to miss it. Call to preach this gospel is not something you take lightly. And may I say, with all humility, to mess with a man of God, to treat him unkind and unfair, to be a hindrance and a problem in the house of God for the man of God to have to deal with is a dangerous thing for anybody to do. I say that, brethren, in defense of great men of God that are part of this fellowship. We must love them. Every preacher, please stand while Brother Switzer is coming. All right. Every preacher, every pastor, every evangelist, please stand. Please stand. Hallelujah. These are men of God. These are men that I love. Just remain standing a minute. I want you to lift your hand up and pray for these men of God. Father, I pray for each pastor. I pray for each pastor. I pray for every pastor. I pray for your hand upon them. If they're evangelists, whatever their calling is, anoint them. Let the Holy Ghost be upon them. Let there be no foolishness in their ministry. No shifting, no compromising. And let your people strengthen them and hold up their hand and be a strength to them. For the kingdom of God is at hand. I said the kingdom of God is at hand. We're still in the invisible phase, the spiritual phase. But soon as that rapture is over and 7 years of tribulation, we come back here to set up the millennial reign. That's the kingdom for 1,000 years. And righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How about many of you will quote that with me? Righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I want to tell you something. There won't be no same-sex marriage during that 1,000 years. You won't even be able to live if you live a homosexual life. You will be eliminated from society. Do you hear me? Is that okay? Oh, you understand the Antichrist is a homosexual in my understanding. And it's going to be against the law for a man to marry a woman for 7 years. The natural will be the homosexual and the lesbian. And the unnatural will be people who are genuinely, genuinely pure. Oh, we got it coming, brother. And I'm not preaching. I was too, won't I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be? You may be seated, pastors. God bless you.
Well, aren't we having a good time? We're, there's a lot being said about... the homecoming, but what about this home going? Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful just getting there? Hallelujah. And it's a wonderful privilege to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. And who knows what God's going to do in this service. Didn't you appreciate those young folks that were up here singing? How many young folks, 41 and under, would you stand? 41 and under. Livingston, you can't stand. What? 51 and under. Will 51 get you? Yeah, 79. I told Brother Joe Yates, I said, if we could just get Brother Chambers to get in a little bit, we'd really have camp meeting. No, seriously, 21 and under. Let's do that again. I want you to look at this crowd of young folks here. Look at that. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, that's wonderful. That's why meetings like this are so important. Yeah, wonderful. And I appreciate you being here. I've appreciated the preaching throughout the day. We heard from Brother James Gans this morning, and he did a tremendous job preaching on Thy Kingdom Come. And then Brother Jeff Mayo preached about kings and the fact that there ought to be nobility in the body of Christ. And he really, he got it close, didn't he? He really did. And that's all right. Brother Joe Yates will be up in the morning again. And it's just wonderful to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I felt like the Lord, He just gave this message to me earlier in the week. I believe it was on Monday or Tuesday. And I just jotted a thought or two down that I was wanting to look at, perhaps when I got home. And it just didn't work that way. It just kept just rolling over in my spirit, and I kept putting things together and tried to spend some time at night and even some during the day looking at this. And I just feel like that I need to talk to you about this, and I really need the Lord's help. But I want to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's where I'd like to begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'd like you to, once we get to 2 Thessalonians, just keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians, because I want to go back there as well. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4. And verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. Please notice this phrase. And that ye may have lack of nothing. So that you come behind in no gift. That ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. He said that ye may have lack of nothing. He said, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach for a little while with the Lord's help on we must catch up before we're caught up. We must catch up so that you come behind in no gift, that you may have lack of nothing. Now, we're about to be caught up, but how many wants to catch up? I don't want to come behind in no gift until he comes. Why don't we raise our hands and ask the Lord to help us for a little while. Father, we desperately need your help. God, I ask you to move in a special way. I have nothing but you. Oh, we've got to have the help of God. We've got to have the help of God. Lord, I'm pleading for your help and your touch. Jesus, I can't do this without you. I would never want to try. I must have the unction of the Holy One. God, would you help us, Lord? Would you help us, Lord, tonight? God, this is your service. These are your people. The need is great, but your sufficiency, Lord, that's what we lean on. God, we're asking you to move in the name of Jesus. Why don't you give the Lord a good praise right now? God, would you help us, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, the Holy Ghost is here, isn't he? You can be seated if you can. You don't have to stay that way. If you and I truly believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, if you and I truly believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, then there is no greater need in the church than that the church once again experience authentic Pentecost. If we believe that we're on the very threshold of the coming of the Lord, then there is no greater need facing us than a genuine outpouring of the Holy Ghost. For you see, there are no needs within our church that a sovereign Holy Ghost revival can't meet. There is no demand that we'll face in this hour as a church that the Holy Ghost cannot handle. I think you would agree with me that this is the most crucial time that you and I have ever lived in, and it is an hour that demands that we catch up before we're caught up. It really does. Never has the church been so complacent. Never has there been a generation that has been so content. Never has there been a church world as a whole that has become so corrupt. Never has there been a time when the church has been filled with such pride and arrogance. Never has there been a time where the church has been so increased with goods, and yet never has there been a time when the church has been any more needy than the church is right now. If there's ever been an age that has been more reminiscent of the Laodicean church age than this church age, I don't think I've ever known of it or ever read about it. This church age, this hour that you and I are living in, is fulfilling the very prophetic warning. And most people in the church don't even realize it. They are fulfilling the very prophetic warning that our Lord and Savior gave about the Laodicean church age. And most folks don't even realize it. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich
and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? You see, my brothers and sisters, a lukewarm church is one that compromises with the world and resembles the surrounding society. It professes to be biblically Pentecostal, yet it is spiritually wretched and miserable. And I want to tell us tonight that my longing and my desire for us as a group of believers that have found one another in this last day, that we never fall into that category, but that until Jesus comes, we're doing all we can to not come behind in any of the gifts, that we are not lacking in any area when it comes to the things of Almighty God. I pray that the church will wake up in this last day, that she'll come to her senses, that she'll realize where we are, that it'll understand the condition that we're in. It's a late hour, and with the holy zeal and abandon, get back to God, get back to this Bible, and get back to authentic Pentecost. We are out of time. I said we are out of time. If we're going to do anything for God, Brother Gans, the time is now, and the time has come. We don't have time to say, well, let's set a date in the fall. Let's just all get together and we'll have revival then. Let's plan another camp meeting. Let's plan another youth camp. Let's plan another conference somewhere out in the future. We don't have time for that. The time is now for us to get stirred and make up our minds. I'm tired of falling behind. I'm tired of running behind. I'm tired of running on empty. I'm ready to get filled up so I can catch up before I get caught up. Never has it been a more critical time for you and I to really understand the hour that we are living in. Now listen to me. And I, what a number of ministers that are represented. And let me just share this with you. I feel like the Holy Ghost would have me to say this. And I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. And I'm not telling you something you do not know already. But never, never has there been a ministry that's had to preach to a generation that is any more unaware of the hour that they are living in than you and I are called to do. We are preaching to a church age that really has no clue how close they are to the rapture. You say, I don't believe that. You just come to our church. As much as we have a move of God in our church, we've got people that have no clue. Brother Chambers, as much as you push for a move of God right here at Paul Creek, as much as you have preached to a church to be aware, you have got people that have no clue. And the rest of you do as well. How do you know? Because I see how they're living. I see where they're lacking. I see how they're not praying. I see the emptiness in their life. I want to tell you something. When church attendance is not important to you, not only are you probably not born again, you don't have a clue how close we are to the coming of the Lord. When you're not interested in being filled with the Spirit, not only are you probably not born again, you don't know how close we are to the coming of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, we don't have time to be apathetic. We don't have time to be complacent. We don't have time to say, well, bless God, we're holding on to a lot more than everybody else and every other hogwash and baloney and a half dozen other Greek words. What are are we holding on to? I'm here to tell you, we've done let go of Pentecost to such a degree until if we tarry another 5 or 10 years, we won't even be able to claim Pentecost. I'm here to tell you, we got to get caught up. We got to get stirred. We got to get moved on by the Spirit once again.
I know major Pentecostal denominations are arguing among themselves whether or not the tongues is really the initial evidence and whether or not you even got to have it. But how far are we behind? That's not our problem. And that really isn't. And it ain't going to help me or you for me to spend 30 minutes of our time together tonight and tell you how bad that really is if we've got folks that have sit in our services for years and decades that have never went through to the baptism. I wonder how much some of our people believe it. I said, I wonder how much. Do you know I had a dear friend of mine? He didn't call any names, but he let me know there's an area of this country where there's actually a teaching rising among independent Pentecostal holiness people that tongues is not the initial and that the Holy Ghost is not much more than what some of the Wesleyans Nazarenes taught in an independent Pentecostal holiness group. I'm telling you where the problem is. Right here. I said it's right here. Right here. I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, when we go service after service without the gifts of the Spirit operating in our church, when we go service after service and pray for the same sick bodies and anoint the same fevered brows and pray for the same crippled bodies and it goes weeks and months and they learn to live in that sick condition. Don't tell me what we're holding on to. Don't tell me how good we are. I don't have time for that. I said I don't have time. If we could buy some people for what there's really worth and sell them for what they thought they was worth, we'd be rich. And that's a problem with Laodicea. They thought they was a lot better than what they were. But Christ said, you're poor, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're blind, you're naked, you lack so much, you better start catching up.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just honor him just a moment. At least. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Wake us. Wake us.
My brothers and sisters, we cannot continue as we are. We can't do it. We are doing, and it bothers me. We are doing everything we can to try to compete.
You know, Rick Warren said, give them something they can't find anywhere else. You know, it wasn't that his thing? And I know what he was talking about. You know, give them a gym and give them Hebrews, not the book, a coffee shop, and give them whatever kind of music that they want. And just rack your brains out to try to figure out what it takes to have a New Testament church. And that's really not what he was after. But I want to tell you something. It ain't going to do us a bunch of good to criticize that, because that's not our problem. Our problem is we've got too many ministers in our churches that's trying to figure out what can I bring in? What can I do? What can I offer? I'm not interested in competing with a Jesus only. I'm really not. It bothers me when our churches start trying to compete with the UPC and everybody else. We think that we can be like them. I mean, we got people that sing their songs with their doctrine. They don't even change a word anymore. That bothers me. I want to tell you something. It wasn't water that cleansed me. It was blood. It wasn't tongues that saved me. It was Calvary. But I'm telling you, we have got a generation. I said we have got a generation that is trying to figure out how in the world can I get a church to grow? How in the world can I keep people interested? And so we watch big choirs and we watch big quartets and we provide an environment that's not even real in the average church, and we say that's Pentecost, that's revival, and that's Holy Ghost. Nobody gets delivered, nobody gets healed, and preachers come back and say, if I can emulate that, I can have a church. You're crazy. I'm feeling dangerous. I want to tell you, I got an idea. I'll tell you something to emulate and replicate and duplicate. How about the book of Acts? I said, how about that? Not Brooklyn Tabernacle. Not Gold City. How about the book of Acts? Not T.D. Jakes. How about the Apostle Paul that said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith would not be in man, but in his power and in his spirit. I'm telling you, that's what we got to have in this hour, this authentic Pentecost. We are selling ourselves short.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
He said his back's better. He said the pain was gone. Did you hear that? Oh. We had something unusual happen tonight. Somebody let the Holy Ghost move. Is having back trouble, and the pain was gone. Why do we have to describe it as unusual? Why? Why in the world does that have to be unusual? Why can't that be the norm? I mean, there's nothing that can take the place of divine healing. Oh yeah. Well, let's just sing in such a way, get it so loud and get the beat right, so everybody goes to an emotional frenzy. Let's call that revival. Let's call that Pentecost. I want to tell you, brother and sister, you can have the emotion, and I like it. We've had quite a bit of it tonight, but that does not mean that anybody's getting healed. That does not mean that anybody is getting delivered. I want authentic Pentecost. I don't have all the answers. I don't even know all the questions. But I know one thing. What most folks are doing ain't getting the job done. I said what most folks are doing and getting the job done. And I'd be a fool to tell you I've got it all figured out. But I do have a simple solution. Let's bury ourselves in the book of Acts and say, God, like William Booth did. Somebody come to see the great William Booth. They said, he's in the chapel praying. You can find him in the chapel praying. The man walked in there to meet the famous William Booth, and he heard a man groaning. He heard a man sobbing and weeping uncontrollably. He slipped up close to him and stayed there for some time, only to find out that Acts chapter 2 in his Bible was tear-stained as he held his hand on it and said, God, would you do it again? Would you do that again? I know how to catch up. I know how to be the church that God wants us to be. Turn this sanctuary into an upper room. Get about 120 filled with the Holy Ghost, and we'll turn the world upside down. We got to catch up, folks. Not with the latest fad. No. No. Not with the latest group that's singing. The latest choir. Not with the UPC or anybody else. I don't know if that means ultimately polluted church or underprivileged children. But I want to tell you something. I say this without hesitation. That lady coming to me and said, why don't we fellowship when we're a lot alike? The only way I knew how to answer was, we are nothing alike. I said, we are nothing alike. If conservative dress is what makes us alike, we're as much like the Amish or the Mennonite as we are them. I'm telling you what, their formula for salvation is heresy. I said it is heresy. It's just about as right as Catholicism. Do you understand? I'm trying to be bold about that because I don't want to ever be confused with that group. I said I don't ever want to be, you're awful hard. We're probably not hard enough. I said we're probably not hard enough on that issue. But I want to tell you, my brother and sister, I do believe this book. I do believe in the glorious, holy, divine Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that God loved me enough to send his Son, who's always been in eternity past. He wasn't created. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and being in the likeness of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm glad for God the Son, but after having been crucified, buried, and resurrected, and ascended, Peter said in Acts 2:33, he, Christ, being at the right hand, the Father, exalted, he has shed forth this, the Holy Ghost, which ye now see and hear. I tell you what, if he'll pour some more of that out, we'll catch up. We'll be the church that God wants us to be. I'm trying to preach to you. I'll try to get to these notes if I can, maybe. But I want to tell you something, folks. We got to catch up. We've got to catch up. When Paul wrote to this church at Corinth, he dealt with a lot of things. He dealt with division. He dealt with tolerance for sin, even wicked sin such as incest. He dealt with immorality in general. He dealt with secular lawsuits between believers. He dealt with the humanistic thinking about truth and conflicts over Christian liberties, and he dealt with the Lord's Supper and a number of things. But however, my brothers and sisters, none were any more important than Paul's teachings on the manifestations and gifts of the Holy Ghost in the context of corporate worship. He said, you got to have it. More than anywhere else in the New Testament, this letter provides insight into the character and components of worship in the early church and what should be found in every authentic Pentecostal church thereafter. He opens this epistle and he immediately begins to thank God. And that's the amazing thing about it. There's a little bit of an introduction of who he is. But he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace which is given you. It's given you by Christ Jesus. That in everything you're enriched in him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. He commends them. It's without question, he says. God's grace is evident in your life. It's been bestowed, and I thank God that it has been given. And he said it really validates your testimony of Christ. You don't just go around saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. There's some signs that are following. And so it helps to authenticate and validate your testimony of Christ. And he said, I'm writing to you because I want you to know from the very beginning, I don't want you to come behind in no gift. That was the Holy Ghost, folks. Oh, yeah, the Holy Ghost knew. There'd be folks that take Corinthians and say, see, he's trying to say it's not necessary. You need to leave it alone. But right at the start, he said, I'm writing this letter, and one thing I want you to know, you're not to come behind in any gift waiting for the coming of the Lord. He indicates that God's purpose for the church included a wide variety of the Spirit's manifestations that would occur through faithful believers. He said there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. There's diversities of operations. It's the same God that worketh all in all. For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. These all work at the one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. He went on to say that within the church, not only would there be these gifts, but there'd be certain ministries that individuals would have. God had set from in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. He was wanting us to know that God's purpose for his church was that there be a wide variety of these gifts in operation, and that multiple people within the church would be involved in the ministry of the Spirit. Wasn't just the pastor or the evangelist or visiting preachers. Ministries within the church. I want to preach this. I really feel like the Lord gave it to me. So, and maybe we can shout or pray or, you know, whatever in a little bit. But he also let us know that there's a diversity within unity comparable to the many functions of the body. So he said within this, there's this diverse unity. And he goes, and I can't read it all, but he said, as the body is one, it hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is also Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. For the body is not one member, but many. God has set forth the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. And he goes on to describing the hand and the foot and the eyes. And you can't do, you know, one can't do without the other. And if one's rejoicing, then all ought to rejoice. He said, listen, there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice. You're the body of Christ, and members in particular. And so he lets us know, my brothers and sisters, that everybody has a vital part in the body of Christ. Why have you to know I'm the head? No, really, not Christ is. Sorry. but well, I'm the neck. I control everything. Never saw a neck that had brains. Sorry. You're not even.
Praise God, amen.
I feel the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you. But you do have a place. And it's vitally important. I said it's vitally important. And then all of a sudden he lets us know that in providing guidelines for the corporate function of the spiritual gifts, he makes a distinction between individual and corporate edification. And he talked about the fact that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you speak it not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him. In other words, you can come to church and speak in an unknown tongue, and it doesn't have to be interpreted because you're talking directly to God. You can, and it may not, it, for whatever reason, it may not edify me, but it probably should. But as long as you're speaking to God, and he, in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries, and he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, it just goes on and on, and lets us know that there really is corporate edification, and there's individual edification. But here's the key. Whenever the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, he said, how's it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have the psalm, have the doctrine, have the tongue, have the revelation, have the interpretation, let all things be done unto edification. There's the motive. Whenever we do come and we're used in the gifts of the Spirit of God moves on us, it isn't so, God, you know what, I'd really like to be put on a pedestal so that everybody will know how spiritual I am and how much praying I've done. So I'd really like to give a message in tongues and maybe an interpretation so everybody will say, ah, how spiritual. I don't know what kind of lingo God uses at that, but I'm telling you what, he doesn't go, ah, how spiritual. If you do anything, it's flesh. If that's your motive, and God ain't within 1,000 miles, I tell you why you want to be used. I got a brother in need. I got a sister in need. I got a church that needs revival. I got a church that needs help. I'm not up here preaching so I can hopefully get another revival. That's ludicrous. That's nonsense. I'm up here preaching because I got a love for you. More than that, I got a love for God. But I got a burden for his body. I want to see them edified. I want to see them helped. I want to see them strengthened. Your motive has got to be right. Your motive has got to be right. Got to be right. And he even lets us know that the real force behind it all, if you go to the 13th chapter, is love. That's a motive. And really lets us know you can't even get to the gifts until you first take care of the fruit. I'll tell you what, I got so much of the Holy Ghost, and there's so many gifts I get used in, but
I tell you what, I ain't gonna speak to that neighbor of mine. It's all false. It's all. I promise you, if you don't have the fruit, it is impossible for you to have the gifts. I was in a Sunday school class one time, and this young lady was up teaching, and she said, "Now, and I, you can't make this stuff up. This is the truth." She said, "Now, there are some of you that my mother, she may not speak to you, or she may kind of ignore you or shun you. This is exactly what she's saying now. And she may kind of treat you a little funny. And the reason why is she's got discernment. And she's done discern something about you. So she just kind of, and I I said, you got to be kidding me. Did she just say? Well, and she's dead serious. That's what's so sad about it. I really think she believes that. Well, she's wrong. She's wrong. There's no question. You know, I may listen to Brother Joey and be convinced, because I've kind of always thought this, that nobody other than the church would hear the trumpet. And then you may say, "Well, this. And I may say, yeah, probably everybody will. And I may talk back with him and get to thinking about the truth and say, yeah, only the church. And I may come back to you and get pulled in. No, I'm kidding. But that I know is not right. I'm telling you what, I got a white dog at my house that's got more discernment than somebody like that. I got some goats that's got more discernment than that. Ain't no way. There's not an absence of fruit and a presence of gifts. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. And I've got plenty of here to preach to you about that. But I'm not going to dwell on it too long. But if we don't have the fruit, every bit of it, it's not plural. We can't, I really like the joy. But that's God, I ain't going to love everybody. You get it all or you don't have any at all. I mean, it's the way it is. I'd like to rip his head off. Well, don't worry about it. God ain't going to use you in the gifts if that's your spirit. You got to have the fruit. And maybe that's why there's so few gifts in the independent Pentecostal Holiness Church. I'm probably going to get in trouble up there if this gets out. But I want to tell you what. I'd like to fall in love. I'd like to have fruit growing. You feel the same way. Don't sit up. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, two thumbs up. I was wondering. And I want to tell you something, brother and sister. I'd like to have so much of the love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, meekness, kindness, and temperance of the Spirit in my life. Every time I walk through those doors, God says, there's a candidate I'm using the gifts tonight. There's somebody I can move on. There's somebody I can move on to edify my church. There's somebody I can use. I know they won't abuse them. I know it's not for their own wicked motive or just to exalt them. They're interested in one thing, edify the body. They want to get caught up before I rapture them out of here. Oh, let's give him praise and glory. I tell you why I haven't always.
Hallelujah.
And I really need to catch up. I really do. Because I ain't always had that fruit like I needed to.
Amen.
Ain't no way.
No, sir.
But I'll tell you.
Sure,
yeah, I'm going to. Let's just bleed together for a while. I feel like I'm getting cut up with you.
Hallelujah.
We'll just bleed a while. You sure are a hard preacher. You ought to be the guy doing it. I'm telling you. It ain't harder on nobody than the guy right here. Oh, God. Not as though I had already attained. I'm preaching for what I won't attain. Are you with me on that? Neither were already perfect. Well, you ought not preach unless you're there. No, not. I don't know whether to run, shout, or...
I ain't never run pews, but I think in order to run them, you got to start feeling like I'm about to feel. Woo! I want to tell you, I hadn't already attained, neither were already perfect, but I'm wanting to get there. I'm wanting to catch up. I'm reaching. I'm reaching. I'm stretching. I'm doing everything I can. I want to, oh, hallelujah. I want to catch up. I want to catch up. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. I'm reaching out. I want to go somewhere in God I've never been. I want to get so lost in His presence. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not there yet, but I'm reaching. What if whoever's going to blow that trumpet has already got it in his hand? And the Father says, all I'm waiting on is for them to catch up. That's all I'm waiting on is for them to catch up. That's all. I'm telling you, He's coming after a glorious church. What kind of church? A glorious church. Without spot or wrinkle, without a blemish. That's the kind of church He's coming after. What kind of church? The same kind I read about in the book of Acts. These signs shall follow them. Follow. Follow. What does that mean? Follow. Follow. That means I've caught up. Everywhere I go, they follow. I done caught up. When we come to Paul Creek, they're going to follow. When you get back to Danville, they're going to follow. When you get back to Alabama, they're going to follow. Why? Because I done got caught up. I said I done caught up. I said I done caught up. That's what we got to have. We got to have a church that is caught up. Give Him praise and glory. Caught up. Oh, Ezekiel got carried away. He got caught up in the spirit. Woo! Oh, Paul got caught up. He said, I saw things that were unlawful for men to even utter. I got caught up. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, look at these young people. Look at them coming and crying and weeping. We got a generation that wants to get caught up. Some of you, you've been past due for your healing. I said you've been past due for your healing. It's time we get caught up. We prayed and prayed and prayed and anointed and prayed. It's past due. We're going to get caught up. We're going to get caught up. We're going to catch up. Oh, yeah. We're going to be a Book of Acts church. I said we're going to be a Book of Acts church. We have no choice. We really don't. You say we do. We really don't. If we're going to accomplish anything for God,
if we're going to make an impact on our community. We have no choice but to catch up. We have no choice but to get full of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit spoke to us through one of those gifts that were operating in this service tonight, and said He'll give us the grace. There may be a lack, there may be something missing, but His grace will be sufficient. I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to catch up where other gifts will be operating. Somebody needs a gift of faith. Somebody can be used in a gift of healing. It's actually gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. It can be emotional. It can be mental. It can be physical. It can be spiritual. Oh, a gift of miracles. Whoa, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Whatever prophecy, we can have it tonight. Let's catch up. Let's catch up. Jesus is coming. The trumpet's about to sound. There's going to be a shout. The glorious church, just like the one that came after out of that upper room, is what He's coming after. Let's don't get in a hurry around these altars. Oh, even if you can't get up here, let's keep our mind on the Lord. Let's seek Him. Let's feel after Him. Let's let the Holy Ghost move on us, whether it's at the altar or in the pew. Oh, we need an all-out revival. We need that Pentecostal power. That's it, just what she's singing. We want Him to send the power. We want Him to baptize everyone.
Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize.
Between.
Oh, Lord, send the power.
Oh, if you're lost or backslid, there's enough Holy Ghost power in this church. Come on up here and get saved. Come on back to the Lord. You don't have to leave here lost. You don't have to leave here backslid. You don't have to leave here with that infirmity. You don't have to leave here with that sickness. You can be healed by the power of God.
Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh. Baptize
right where you are.
Everyone. Oh, Lord.
the healings. We can have the deliverances.
Oh, Lord, send the power just now.
Oh, let's go after it.
Oh, Lord, send
let's go after it.
Just now.
What do you say? Let's go after it.
Lord, send the power just
the
now.
The violent, take it by force. Let's go after it. Let's go after his kingdom.
Yes.
Oh, let's go
Lord,
after it.
Send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone. Yes, soul time power was given to us.